Welcome to Taboo and Turn On. I'm your host, Natalie Bartanian, and this is a podcast where we have real talk about real things, where we shed light on taboo topics and explore what it truly means to live a turned on life. I'm so glad you've joined, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Music by bensound.com. Today I have with me Ashwak Fardush. She is quite a powerhouse. I met her actually through a client of ours, and she became a dear friend and also client. But the thing that I love about Ashwak is we just get into the deepest conversations around all things having to do with life and learning and writing and creativity. And that is one of the main reasons I wanted to have her on today. So to tell you a little bit more about Ashwak, she is a storyteller, she's a writer, she's a teacher, and she's a healer. And her main stance around all this is that she feels like there is a healing that's available in the world through storytelling and through her storytelling. She really believes that, you know, the stories we tell ourselves and the stories we write down are not just writing them down, but they are writing us too. So she is deeply, deeply committed to her writing practice. She sees it as a spiritual practice. And, you know, some just like fun facts. She loves cemeteries, which I do too. I don't know. Have we talked about this? I'm not sure.
Not yet.
Okay. But I do. She loves cemeteries. She loves sunflowers, and she loves walking barefoot on the grass. So thank you, Ashwak, so much for being here with me today.
It's such a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Thank you so much. So why creativity? Why are we talking about this today?
Well, for me, creativity was the entry point into living life in a very holistic way, in a deep way. And for me, it was the way I felt like I resuscitated myself when I felt very dead inside. So it really brought me back to life. So creativity has that power, because what creativity requires is that all of your senses are alive. And when you answer, you know, the invitation to do that, it gives you so much rich details, and you're always constantly in a state of awe. So, you know, there's no other topic that I would be talking to you about than creativity.
Wow. So the way you make it seem like kind of your perspective is it's life. It's like we're alive or we're dead. We're creating or we're not.
Right. Absolutely. That's it. You know, we call God the creator, right? And when we are creating, that is, you know, that sense of aliveness. It's like whenever I'm creating, what I feel the divine course through me, and we are co-creating, and the universe emerges through that co-creation. So it's absolutely life force. It's life itself. Once creativity stops, that's when things end, you know?
So can you describe your definition of creativity? Because I feel like a lot of people get stuck on this because they feel like creativity is writing and painting and drawing and doing sculpture. Maybe music too. And that's it. Right there, those boxes, and that's it.
Oh my goodness. You know, for a very long time, I did think about creativity in that term. So, you know, I went to, I have my BA and MA in English. So when I was in academic spaces, creativity was, you know, introduced to me in that way. And In terms of measuring success, it was all about, you know, whether you have published or not, you know, external recognition from others to determine if you're an artist. But it was when I moved away from the academic space and started to ask myself that question, you know, what is creativity? How do I define it for myself? How do I assess, you know, whether or not, you know, I am really satisfying the calls of my soul or the inner artist inside of me? That's when I realized that, you know, say if I write a poem or a play or an essay, or if I paint something, you know, like those, that is not necessarily my masterpiece. It's also, you know, my life and the way I live it. And the deeper that I go into living my life, it will also allow me to go deeper into creating those, you know, pieces. So when you are, if you're a mother and you're having a conversation, a deep conversation with your child, I think that's a creative act. You are authoring your life, you know, you're writing your big story, and all the creative act, you know, after, that we consider to be creative, you know, whether like that novel or the painting, our big story is casting a shadow. Like those are the product, but the process of living life, like that's creativity. And if you're living from a very deep, deep place, that will feed into those products that you're, you know, producing.
I could listen to you talk about this stuff because I think that's what's happening. I feel like when you talk, it is source speaking through you, right? And like the way the words you choose and the message that you're wanting to convey, it can be done with creativity, or it can be done logically, or it can be done with a purpose, or it can be done for yourself. Like there's so many ways we can be, right? And
yes.
And I feel like for me, I'm really seeing creativity as a beingness. Like it's a way that you are. It's how you approach things. Do I approach it from, like you said, that sense of wonder, that let me see if I can do this in a way that's never been done before. Maybe there's, you know, and like an intention, like how do I want to feel doing this? How do I want this other people to feel in this situation? Like, you know, like one of the things I love about Bob is he creates experiences for people. So
yes.
Whenever we go out, he has so much thought and intention put into it. And I was like, wow, he's such an experience creator, you know? And so it's not necessarily that he's painting or drawing or making music, which he does. He's a beautiful artist, like a musician, but his big art is the weekend he plans for us. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And we're constantly creating moments too. So I'll give you an example too. Recently, what happened? I love sunflowers. I told you about that. And so I saw this like grove of sunflowers, and I walked up to it, and I could feel the sunflowers were watching me as I was watching them. And then a woman passed by me, and she stopped on her tracks, and she said, "There's so much beauty that you're creating. Like, it's so beautiful for me to watch you watch the sunflowers."
Oh my God.
And that's creativity. We created a moment that I will not forget. And she, you know, she will not forget it. So we created a moment together. Hmm. That's creativity.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That brought tears to my eyes. Did not expect
Natalie.
That, but I think because I could just see it, right? And then there's this vision now for me. There's a feeling that just you telling that story, again, power of story, right?
Yes.
It created a picture and a feeling and an experience now that I'm touched by, I'm moved by, I feel like I was there.
And it's, you know, it's through these stories, the sharing of stories is also how we share ourselves with each other and we connect. And that connection piece is so important. A lot of times we walk around, you know, our bodies, our stories, our texts that can be read as well. And a lot of times in this world, no one bothers to pause and read us. We don't take the time to read each other. And it's, you know, listening to another's story or telling your story to someone, that's an act of love. And so that's why it's just stories are so powerful. It's a way of loving another and letting people love you too.
So I'd love to talk about, what do you think is the taboo side of creativity? What's the shadow here?
Well, in terms of creativity, it loves to play in wide, wide open space. It doesn't believe in boundaries. It doesn't it doesn't have rules, right? It's a lot of play. So whenever you sit down to, for me, I write, so I'm going to talk about writing. And I think it can apply to, of course, other medium as well. Whenever I sit down to write, if I come onto the page with rules, I'm already going to be stuck, right? So if I write without censorship, what I have to do is I have to let go and I have to allow myself to get to the first thoughts. Whatever comes up gets, like, can surface on the page. And the problem there, the taboo is that, I mean, the shadow side of it is, while I experience a lot of freedom when I write without censorship, at the same time, it requires me to see, take the, blinders off, and I have to see whatever comes up. And sometimes what comes up are painful memories that I haven't acknowledged myself. Sometimes I didn't even know I had those memories. Sometimes it's seeing, you know, our thoughts and how, you know, horrible meaning like how damaging they are to us or to another. Sometimes you see that you are in a relationship that you need to end. Sometimes it is you realize that the status quo, like, you know, or what the society tells you is not what you believe. And then that means, well, you have to make a choice. You have to either, you can either shut up and pretend not to see that, or you have to do something about it. So the shadow side is that you, there's a tension between freedom, right? And social expectations. So yeah, that's the hard part where, there's, and then the shadow part is also kind of that, the fear comes in, fear and shame and guilt. So do I own my voice or do I, kind of blend in and become, like the masses, you know, as an artist, it's death for you if you can, if you choose conformity, because creativity is always is asking you to go outside of your comfort zone and take risks.
Oh, I love that because it makes me think of, because I've done now 2 creativity workshops I've co-facilitated with a friend, and we talk about how creativity is actually a very rebellious act.
Oh, yes.
Right. which, of course, for me, being like the provocateur, I'm like, yeah, fuck the system. But I mean, just more than that, because creativity is self-expression. Right. However you choose to express yourself and your unique self, right? You're creating mm-hmm. a version of yourself. You're creating what you want to say. You're creating how you want to be. You're creating experiences and connections, etc. But it's self-expression. However you choose to express, that's your medium, your choice, right? But
yes,
it's self-expression. And what that means is a lot of times you are not going to fit in, because if mm-hmm. we all are our unique selves, there are not enough boxes in the world right yes. now that would fit all of us. You know, it's just free reign here. And that is, like you said, a very scary place to now be walking mm-hmm. around the world. Like, oh God, am I going to be rejected or shunned or isolated or criticized or maybe even literally bullied, or, you know, like there are, yes. like you said, these fears, which does shut down our creativity.
Yes.
And our aliveness.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, in my personal writing practice, that has happened where I have, I have gone through period. Well, I discovered writing without censorship in 2013. I read Natalie Goldberg's Writing Down the Bones, and a book that I highly recommend everyone to read. It's so phenomenal. It will change your life. Wow. And when I began writing in that way, and I felt so free. And, you know, one thing that happens is when you feel free in one part of your life, it's going to spill over and you're going to see changes in all parts of your life.
Contagious. Freedom's contagious.
Yes. Absolutely. So what happened, though, was when I started sharing some of the stories that came out of me with others, there were I don't want to say backlash, but I would say there was shaming. Well, I guess that is backlash.
Yes.
So there was this shaming that that was projected onto me about my writing, about my creativity, that I went into hiding. I didn't want to share my writing for a long time. And the way to get out of that is, whenever you go through a creative block, the way you get out of it is through creativity, by writing something else.
It's like it's its own antidote.
Right. So what I did was I sat down for a few months. I would just come to the notebook and talk to shame for about 4 months. I just did that. I would just talk to shame and say, what do you have to teach me? I know I'm supposed to learn something from you. I'm having such a hard time. Can you please help me? Like, let me see what I'm having a hard time seeing. And shame, what I've learned is, you know, when you see shame is about hiding, right? Yes. The more you hide, the more the shame increases.
Yes.
So when I finally decided to look at her, look at shame directly, she softened and she told me that you're scared of your own power. And so I felt, so liberated after that, because, when I own my own power and I believe in my right to create without external approval, sometimes I won't get it, so I've just decided, acceptance or rejection can go down the same drain. I will continue to write, because for me, creativity is life. It's synonymous to breathing. And if I can't create, the way I want to create, I do not feel alive. So there is no choice in the matter. So I will continue to create. So, so that was the way, like that was the process for me, but I had to come back within myself and I had to speak to shame for 4 months. And it's going to be, you know, I'm still not done with that process. So like I spiral back into it and I have to talk to her again. And it's giving, you know, voice to different emotions. Like writing is a very emotional act. It's an emotional act. It's a sensual act. It's like different things, but it's definitely an emotional act. And a lot of emotions will come up. Fear will come up. Anger will come up. Shame will come up. Jealousy will come up. And you go to your notebook and give voice to them and you listen attentively because those emotions have messages. And if you just, you know, like if you see these emotions as your friends who are, you know, guiding you, directing you, you will be cracked open and the gifts there are just, it's amazing how much you'll get to learn about yourself. And I think that's ultimately that, like it's, there's just so much discovery, so much learning that happens and there's always something new. It's like, you know, you're courting yourself, like, you know, you're having, like for me, writing is like, I'm going back to a lover, like again and again and again. And each time I'm like peeling off layers and we're just getting to know each other.
I love this because it really brings in for me that conversation around pleasure, that conversation around turn on, the conversation around, you know, doing this for my own sake, right? For the sake of my own want, my own desire, my own fulfillment, you know, in this process. And sure, things are going to come up because like in any relationship, like you said, in any lovership,
yes,
there's a range of emotions that are going to come up, but those aren't bad or wrong either. Again, like we make emotions taboo. Like you shouldn't be feeling anything. Mm-hmm. Like we're not fucking robots, people. Like we are emotional creatures. Like this is being human. We're not animals. Yes. And we're not robots. We're humans. Humans have like emotions. And and so I love this kind of thing that you're talking about embracing the emotions and almost having now a relationship with your emotions. Like you can't have a relationship with creativity unless you have a relationship with your emotions and an accepting, loving, embracing relationship.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, that's why one of the things that I think I mentioned this to you already before when we talked about creativity, it's really important for people to ask themselves, you know, why they do what they do. So like, you know, in terms of writing or creativity, like why do I create or why do I write? And asking that question periodically because it may change because we are a different self every moment. So it's important to revisit these questions. And definitely the creativity is obviously there is like we talked about the taboo part, but really, creativity loves pleasure and play and delight.
Yes.
That's where it flourishes. You know, if you make it like work, I must hammer out, you know, 500 words every day, you know, I mean, probably you're going to produce, you know, that text. But it's, again, if you want to focus on a sustainable relationship with creativity, you want to focus on the process, right? So it's like you can have a marriage, but like, you know, do you want to be happy or do you want to be miserable?
Right. Do you want to go through the motions or do you want to actually have a thriving, sexy relationship?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
yeah,
you get to
that.
Make you get to choose that. There is a lot of choice in the matter. So for me, creativity is, as I said before, creativity is similar to like going back to a lover again and again. So. So for me, it's I'm always just I'm thinking like it's a very sensual experience for me. So on a physical level, I like when I'm mm-hmm. writing, I'm so turned on, Natalie. It's crazy. I just feel like heat, like an escaping from my body. I feel like in my heart, it's there's this. You know, golden river. Like I literally feel like there's this golden river inside
yeah.
of me, and I'm just in the flow, and it feels so pleasurable, and it's, you know, I get to choose that experience. Now the thing is, I used to write before 2013, and during like before I discovered, you know, writing without censorship and writing as a form of play and pleasure, joy, I used to have such a hard time with writing. It was such a chore. I knew that I love writing and I knew that it was part of my calling, but I couldn't get the words out on the page. And it was, I was controlling so much of what would end up on the page. And part of it was because I didn't want to see myself. And I was very scared of the stories that would come up, you know. So if, you know, I didn't want to write about my family, or I didn't want to write about my sexual desire, or I didn't want to write about, like, you know, so there was just like all these things like on the list, like I'm not going to write about this or that, you know. So it was burdensome, it was painful, and you know, I had a choice in the matter too. I co-created that experience, so you really get to choose how you want to engage mm-hmm. like, you know, with creativity or with writing, whatever practice you're choosing, you get to decide how that relationship looks like.
Yes, but I think the part you're talking about that is important is that part where we try and control it.
Oh, yes.
And again, this is how we normally are taught to do relationships in a way, or assume that that's how relationships are done. I manipulate and I control the other person. I manipulate and control myself, instead of just allowing the relationship to
yes.
do its thing, allowing the person to do their thing, allowing myself.
Yes.
And you even said it before, you know, we got on this call, that there was a little bit of nervousness, right, at how organic this conversation
yes.
was going to be. Because I'm very curious with all of these to allow the conversation to create an experience and to like, let's see where the conversation wants to take us, right? Versus me dictating where
yes.
the conversation needs to go.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of creativity. It is a curiosity instead of a control
yes.
and a manipulation and also expectation, right?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. All of that. And the thing is, when we try to control so much, when we try to control so much, we are not open, right? And when we're not open, we foreclose all the possibilities, the different possibilities that we could not have possibly imagined. And then we also don't allow the chance for transformation. You know, you can't force that. You can't predict that. You can't script that. It happens when, if it's in a relationship, two people are very open and they let you know, that organic experience transformed them. And so one of the things that I also shared is, it's not simply that we are writing our stories, but that the stories are writing us too. So when we go to the page trying to control it, we only see it as one-sided, where we are simply going to write the story. Who cares about the stories and what they want to do with us or what they want to tell us? We just want to tell the stories. That's it. That's very ego-driven. But if we move away from that controlling way to a more selfless, loving, open way of engaging with creativity, then we say, you know, like, so I go to the stories and I'm like, this is what like I thought of, but the stories will also tell me like, well, actually that's not the direction I want to go in. And the stories always take me in a very scary direction. Natalie, I'm like, sure. Oh, why?
Come on. Like, why did I choose writing again? This is bullshit. I don't like it.
I'm just like, can I do something that's like less scary? So the story is like, no, but trust me, if you go in this direction, it's going to be really good. I promise you, but you have to trust me. So it's like, I'm just like, okay, I'll trust you. And I've always been rewarded because the experience is like, you know, there is that curiosity. I'm like, ooh, where will this take me? And inspiration, right? I'm being pulled. I'm not pushing, you know, that's like motivation versus inspiration, right? So for yes. me, I'm creativity, it's like something that inspires me. I'm being pulled somewhere and I feel like I'm flying. So and that I'm like tasting air. It's just gorgeous. So like for me, I'm hypnotized by just the experience itself. Whatever, like however the product turns out, for me, it's really minuscule in comparison to the experience of moving from the conception, like the inception of the idea, and to kind of to give birth to it, you know, fully fleshed out that product. So like that experience is what I get, and then the world gets to have this product and it changes them and transforms them or not. But for me, like that doesn't matter so much. It's that experience of letting creativity move through me, and we have a story. Like that act is a story in itself. And so like I will foreclose that if I like just come in and say, I'm writing this story. The story is writing me too. So it's co-creation. And then it's so much fun that way. It's like, ooh, what are we doing today? You know, show me, tell me,
yes.
Let's play.
No, there is, I've shared so many times my approach to writing, because it's very contrary to the way most people talk about writing. Mm. And again, you can use this, whoever's listening, to your own expression. So whatever your, again, medium for creativity is, but there is this way that we do see it as work. If you don't sit down and write 100 words a day or for an hour a day, you know, you're never going to get it done. You need to, you need discipline. You need, and it's like, yes, and yes. Mm-hmm. And for mm-hmm. me, I need spaciousness, and I need to feel like I'm making time that's dedicated to it, and it's not being squeezed in between other things. Like for me personally, and this might not be true for everyone, that's the mm-hmm. thing. It's like, get creative with your creative process too. You know, I mean, again, the antidote to its own thing, but like, get creative with it. For mm-hmm. me personally, me, Natalie Vartanian, what yes. works for me is I like having time and space. So I will block out a weekend for my writing, or I will block out a whole entire day. I prefer weekends because I also think of it as lovers, and I like to think of it as, this is my rendezvous weekend with my writing. So we will block out the weekend and we will go in, and I'm like, I have no idea what we're going to do or what's going to happen, but that's part of the excitement, right? That's part of the journey. I might take breaks. I might do other things, and I have freedom. Like, there's also a freedom in it, but it's a container. Yeah. So yes, there's structure, there's a container, mm-hmm. but there's also lots of room to play in that container. I like big, wide containers. Like, yes. I'm like a wild horse that needs a corral, but that corral is so big and expansive that I can't even kind of see it. But yes, it's there, and I know it's too. There, right? Like, because it gives you safety to know you have the container,
yes.
but it doesn't have to be so constricting,
yes.
that it sucks the fucking creativity and the freedom out of you,
yes.
which I think is death to creativity.
Definitely. I agree so much. You know, I know that, like, you know, if you pick up many books, focused on creativity, it tells you about, like, you know, certain rituals, write daily or do X, Y, and Z. And I've tried that too. And for me, I think it's good to have a structure. In the very beginning, it's when you're not feeling inspired or you don't feel the pull, or you don't know your why just yet. And you're experimenting. You're still not sure what your creative process is, what works for you, what doesn't. So in the beginning, I think it's important to try different things out, right, before you settle in on something.
Yes.
But I noticed that for me, like, you know, what works 1 year or like 4 months doesn't work, like, you know, another 4 months. And it's because, you know, like I said, we're a different self each moment. And mm-hmm. if we even look to nature, there are different seasons. Yes. And so you may be in the winter of creativity, right? And you can't force yeah. things to be like right. spring and abundant, right? Yes. So there are times where you'll go through a drought or what appears to be a drought, but it's just a natural part of the creative process. You're resting. It's your resting period. And rest and motion, you need to like understand where you are in that cycle. So what I also noticed is, for me, there are months where I don't want to write. I just simply mm-hmm. don't want to write. And mm-hmm. I love writing. And so whenever I get to those months, it's scary as hell, because yeah. I think, oh my goodness, what if I forget how to write? You know, I've been writing every single day for about 9 months or 10 months. And if I don't write for like a month, like what if I become mediocre? Or what if I forget how to do this? What if I, you know, like don't get back to it? So it's very nerve-wracking. And then I have to, you know, like address those. I need to speak to that anxiety and see where that's coming from. But, you know, I have walked away from writing for a few months at a time. And when I go back to it, I'm like, you know, more in love with writing than ever. So it's, you know, if you're really into that creative process, you'll come back to it. And then the other thing that I like to say is that we are writing even when we are not writing. So it's not when you show up on the page that you're creative. When I took off a few months from writing, I wouldn't write, like, you know, at all. But I wrote like a poem during that time. And like, you know, I was so creative other ways. Like I was writing more, or I was making sense of ideas. It was like, you know, my brain needed to rest, and it was working, but in a different way that I didn't recognize. So one of the gifts that a writer can, or a creative person can give to himself or herself, is to really honor their own pace and process. So, like, you know, there isn't a one size fits all formula out there. So you really have to come back within yourself and figure out what that is for yourself. But like you, Natalie, I also love spaciousness of time. There is a structure that's there, but like I'm willing to walk away from it, to if need be, and examine underlying like fear that is there. Certain times I will go through certain rituals, and it's not because of my creativity, but to satisfy a certain fear that I have. So it's really interesting. My advice is to get really curious about your relationship with your creative process.
I love that. And that feels like a beautiful place to kind of wrap up in that you get to be curious and you get to be creative, and it gets to be yours. Creativity, mm-hmm. and you have your own relationship. And for me, my wish is that everyone comes to a turned on place around their creativity, and that gets to look however and feel however you want it to feel. So thank you, my dear, for being on with me today. I love this conversation so much. And if people wanted to read your writings, or is there a way for people to get a hold of you? I know we haven't really talked about this, but
So I have a blog where I write about writing and creativity. So if you go to rootswingswriting.wordpress.com, you can stay connected that way. Another way is Facebook or Twitter. So those are all great ways of staying connected with me.
Great. And we'll have all of these in the show notes. So thank you again, my dear, for the work that you do, for the stance you take, and just your passion around this is just so clear.
Thank you, Natalie, so much. This was so much fun. This was so yes. much fun. And thank you again. Love you tons.
You. I love you too. Thank you so much for listening. Wasn't that a rich and inspiring conversation? I swear every time I talk to Ashwak, I want to just reignite my own love affair with creativity. Also, a big favor to ask, if you could subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a rating or review, that would really mean a lot to me and also the podcast. And if Stitcher is your deal, if you could do that on there. But we would love to get this in as many ears as possible and inspire and ignite the world. Also, if you would like support around your own creativity to unlock it, to cultivate it, to really express yourself in the world through your own creativity, I'm offering donation coaching through the end of September. You can go to tabooandturnon.com. Right in the menu bar, it says donation coaching. And the way it would work is we get on the phone for an hour, make some magic happen, and then you pay what you can. Thank you again. May your creativity be unleashed and ignited and expressed in the world. Love you.